just share your heart. And bro.
This is a sad day for me. But it's a glorious day too. You know, I'm happy because all of you are in my life. I have these things to look back on, to pull from. In times of trouble, I have every one of you to call. But the one thing that I'm going to miss the most is my discipling relationship. Now, I've been a disciple for 13, 14 years. I've had three discipling relationships, and all three of them have been awesome. And it's because you need to work at it. Now, this is directed towards the men because you women already do this. You find somebody in the church that you can relate to, that you can talk to, that follows the precepts of what's in the scripture about love. You know, love is patient, love is kind, does not envy, does not boast. That's the type of relationship you need to find with another man. Now, being in a discipling relationship where two or three brothers get together and watch football and talk about the scriptures maybe, you know, that's great. Continue doing that. But you need to find someone that when you walk in the room and not feeling tip-top, he notices it right away. Or if something happens late at night or early in the morning that you need to talk to, you know you can call that brother. Somebody that will help you through the scriptures, somebody that will help you through the problems that you have, not tell you how to solve it, but help you work through it together. And like I said, I've had three relationships like that. One in Japan, Larry Boot, and many of you still remember Larry Boot, and Otha. I mean, Otha's amazing to me. We have breakfast every Tuesday morning. We play golf in the summer, and he lets me lose. But if I'm feeling down, he'll find out what's wrong and help me through it scripturally. Help me through it by using God's word. But it's not, you know, you have acquaintances. You have friendships. You have brothers in Christ and sisters in Christ. But then you have a discipling relationship. And a discipling relationship is not the way it used to be, where you go and sit down and he tells you all the things that you've done wrong and how all of the way you're disappointing God. He sits down with you and helps you through it. And brothers, find someone. Find someone in this church that you can relate to. And if you can't find somebody here, call somebody in Lansing. Call somebody in Detroit. You know, I mean, Larry Boot and I were in a discipling relationship for many years while he was in Indiana and I was here. We would call each other at least once a week, most of the time two or three times a week. And even over the phone, he could tell me when I wasn't feeling good. Brothers, it's important. It's important to your Christian life. It's actually important to your worldly life, too. Because the better you are in this worldly life, the easier it is for you to serve God. And that's my parting words to this church. I want you brothers to find someone. Now, it's not what we normally do as men. You know, we got to be macho. You know, we don't need to share our personal feelings. But brothers, you do. Because everyone in this church you can talk to and not be judged. You can't talk to anybody in the world and not be judged. You will be judged. It'll be passed on to other people. You will be talked about. But not with a brother in Christ. Just keep that in mind. And reach out. Reach out to each other. Start having a meal with each other. Have breakfast, have lunch, have dinner. You know, just you. Now keep up the marriage, keep up your relationship with another couple so you can be discipled as a relationship. But brothers, you need it independently. I did. I never thought I did. But I certainly found out that you've got to have that as part of your life. So brothers, I want to thank you for being in my life. Sisters, I want to thank you being in my life. And Otha, I want to thank you for getting me through this life. I'd like to pray. And I'd like you to join me in prayer. Our Father in heaven, I especially come to you today thanking you for the brothers and the sisters you have put in my life, for the love in their hearts, for the mercy and the forgiveness that they have just poured upon me, Lord. I know that this is all because of you, all because of your word, all because of our desire to be more like you. Lord, I love you so much for making my life plentiful, for making my life just full of friends. And I especially thank you, Lord, for putting my disciples in my life, for helping me through troubled times, for simply reminding me, like last Tuesday, that I need to trust in God. Lord, I love you, I thank you, and I praise you. I praise you and everything that you do for us. And I pray these things in your precious Son's name. Amen.
All right, so I think spring is going to be here around the corner, I believe, right?
Amen.
Praise God.
Yeah.
I'm going to talk about building friendships 2x2. That's my beautiful daughter, Melissa George, with her friend Mia. You may have known her mother, Esther Sotelo. And going back 8 years, when Melissa was 7 or 8, she reached out to Mia in the Kids Kingdom even before I knew her dad and the mom. And after church, Melissa would come up to me and Pam and say, "You got to become friends." I mean, like, you know, you're talking about 7 or 8. "You got to get to know this family." That was her zeal and fire when she was 7 and 8. Even when you're 7 and 8, you can have fire and zeal. Are you with me? Since then, they've been in our house church. We had great times together. Last week, Mia got baptized. So the next slide will show that in Chicago. It was very inspiring. We couldn't be there for that. But Mia was very inspired by Melissa's life when she got baptized a year and a half ago. And Mia is a sister in Christ. Amen. The kingdom of God, church, is all about relationships. If you remember Pam's brother Roger and Susan, who came at the other building and said, kingdom of God is all about relationships. I agree 200% on that. Not 99.99, not 100, not 101. 200%. Why? Because the Bible is all about relationships. And so, we're going to look at the biblical history a little bit. We'll touch on the New Testament. We'll talk about relationships in the Bible, in the New Testament. And we're going to talk about different disciples, how they did stuff. And we are going to continue in line of our friendship theme. Amen. How we just not say friendship. Hey, bro, how's it going? Good to see you. And that's about it. And next Sunday, hey, welcome back again. Good to see you. Hey, go. And week after week, that's all we do. Month after month, year after, oh, you're back again. Years go by. That's not in the Bible. It's about relationships and getting deep. Amen? So hopefully today our relationships will not be like that. One more time. Basic relationship in the Bible is a pair. In ancient Israel, a disciple studying under a partner is given a study partner to work with. Okay, that's how they got into all the Old Testament scriptures. And how Paul had a mentor, Gamaliel, who trained him up to know the book of the law. Jesus took further and developed it further among his disciples. Okay, I'm using the remote by faith. Next slide. Jesus' disciples are listed in pairs in Matthew 10, 2 to 4. The names of the 12, Simon and his brother Andrew, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James and Thaddeus, Simon and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. In the next slide, in Acts 1, they were shuffled around, meaning they were not stuck with the same pair. And when they had entered, they went up to the upper room. This is when Christ went to heaven. Peter and John, James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James' son Alphaeus and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. And so we see in the next slide, he sent them in pairs or triad. All these scriptures here, I hope you can see them, it's two by two. Mark 6, calling the 12 to him, he began to send them out two by two. Luke 19, as he approached Bethage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two by his disciples. Luke 22, 8, Jesus sent Peter and John saying, go and make preparation for us to eat the Passover. Two by two. Why? Because you're going to help each other out, right? After 6 days, Matthew 17, 1, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and took them at the high mountain by themselves. He decided to go on the mountain and have a quiet time together with his close buddies. In Matthew 26, 37, he took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and troubled. He shared his heart with his buddies. He was down. He was overwhelmed, filled with sorrow. He shared his heart with them. John 20. She came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved. Acts 3:1. One day Peter and John were going up to the temple at a time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. They went two by two and had a quiet time. In Acts 4:13, they saw the courage of Peter and John. They had the same courage. They had the same purpose. They faced Christianity together. They struggled together. It is very, very important for us, brothers and sisters, and I thank you, Hal, for telling us to the brothers. We need each other. You and I need each other. We cannot be the lone island, else Satan will take us down. Again, two-by-two relationships. Moses and Aaron in Exodus. David and Nathan, 2 Samuel. Jeremiah and Barak. John the Baptist and two disciples in Matthew 11. 72 are sent out in Luke 10:1. Paul and Barnabas, Acts 9. Paul and Silas, Acts 15. Two disciples on the road to Emmaus, Luke 24. Timothy and Erastus in Acts 19. We see in the next slide more than one pair. That means you're not stuck with one guy forever. Okay? You have other relationships where you can pair up. Okay? Peter and Andrew, Peter and John. Paul and Barnabas, Paul and Silas. Barnabas and Mark, Thomas and Matthew and Philip. There were multiple pairs in the church and the kingdom. The next one, I want to share and talk about the power of two. I love the scripture in Matthew 18:19-20. Again, truly I tell you that two of you on earth agree about anything. Isn't that powerful? They ask for, it'll be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three gather in my name, there am I with them. I love this point because two people agree on the same thing. And it's sad, today's world, not many people are getting along. Isn't it true? It's hard to agree because they disagree a lot of the times. How are your relationships in the world, in your office, your co-workers? Are we always disagreeing and arguing from day one? Or there's a relationship build up? And I love this point because here it says that, you know, two of you agree and ask for the same thing. Isn't that powerful? That means if I pray for Dan Gunter that he'll get a job, and Kerry also prays, and Fred also, and Otha and Ron, now we got more than two or three, right? And we're both all asking the same thing. I mean, what if we were all not asking the same thing? Ron is saying, I hope he doesn't get a job. And I'm praying he needs to get a job. And Kerry is saying, oh, maybe I hope he does. Is that in agreement? See, there's power when we all agree on the same thing. Amen to that? A few days ago, Dan Gunter got a job. Come on, he's fired up. God is waiting to make you powerful through prayer. Because when we pray the same thing, we become unified. Isn't that incredible? God intervenes in that prayer and makes it awesome. In 20, for where two or three gather in my name, you know, hanging out together, God is also there with them. We need to gather more and more. I know we got all the hi-fi technology, not to gather, but we need to get time with each other in spite of the texting and iPhones and Skype and all that. I mean, you know, Joe, hey, Skype, amen. Let's do that. Let's hang out, do whatever. But when we're in the same city, we want to strive to be together. Why? Because God wants to send a spirit. He wants to encourage you. Encourage the gathering. Amen? What if, in the next slide, what if John had got out of the boat with Peter? He may have kept on walking. Good point, huh? What if after Pentecost, Peter and John boldly confronted authorities and healed at the beautiful gate? You know, God can work powerfully when we are together. In Ecclesiastes chapter 4, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them. You know, brothers and sisters, we don't want to be in that spot. There will be a time when you'll be down, and there will be a time when you're up. Amen? It's just a matter of time. I've been down, and I've been up. Now, if the pair... if both are down, we got a problem. That's not a good combination right there. And if you have many groups or many pairs, all are down, then the whole church is hurting. Are you with me? There needs to be a relationship. According to the Bible, the other one should be up to pull the other one up. Or this person is down, but he will pull up. It's never both down. Or this guy's pulling that person down. That means he's not strong. Are you with me? And that has happened. That has happened. Because these two are not agreeing. Are you with me? God's not working. I'm going to be sharing a little bit later on, but one of my buddies, Albert Chain, I love him to death. He's a great buddy of mine. Studied the Bible with him back in 1989. We are friends forever, 23 years in the making. Next month, for our spring break, we're going to go to Canada. He's over there with his family. And we're going to hang out together. Is that awesome? We're going to continue to bond. And we've been so together in so many cities together that the kids know their kids, and they're going to hang out too. You kids fired up? Amen. But there were times when I was up here and Albert was here, I had to call him. And there was a time when I was here and he had to call me. And there was a time when we both were down, and that wasn't good. That's why we need other friendships. Like, I knew Albert could not connect and help me at this point in my life. I needed grab onto somebody else and have multiple relationships. Amen to that. But if I am so codependent on Albert Chain, then he is down and I'm down and we're all feathers of the same flock. It's not a good combination. Are you with me? We need to be so spiritually alert that we know we're down and we're not going to be self-pity down together. Are you with me? Albert's getting help. I'm getting help. We are going to get on top. We're not going to let years go by. We're both stuck. Oh, woe's me. And nobody loves me. Nobody loves me. How's that song go by Queen? Nobody loves me. Something like that. I'm only a boy, right? Yeah, a very sad song. We want to be both on top. Why? Because Satan wants us to be down. He doesn't want to grow up. It'll be a pity. There's no one to help him up. My question for you this morning, are you down or are you up? If you're down, are you getting the help? Are you being open? Do you even know you're down? Oh, I'm not down. Hey, are you talking to me? Well, talk to yourself. Talk to God and find out. Figure it out, brothers and sisters. Now, if you're up, then don't be glowing up in the spirituality thing. Get down and help somebody. Amen? We got to grow. We have to. I want to grow. I don't want to be in the same spot. I know I've grown a lot. You feel you've grown a lot? Yeah? Yes? No? Maybe? We want to grow, brothers and sisters. If you're not growing in our Christian life, then we're stuck. We're plateauing out. There was a preacher who said a long time ago, if you're not growing, then you're going this way, and eventually it goes this way, down a few years, down a few years, down a few years, and you're permanently down. You don't know you're sinking, sliding. Now, this is for the marriage only. Also, if two lie down together, they'll keep warm, amen? So singles, you know, maybe not a good idea to try that. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, they two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. This whole scripture is about an attitude of helping people. If you know brothers and sisters in the city or in Michigan or around the kingdom, around the U.S., who are down, pick up the phone and encourage them. I appreciate Hal again. But Hal knows when he's down, he's picking up the phone to Larry and Otha. And I appreciate all that. I wish I had come earlier on, the IHOP or Denny's or now Bob Evans or whatnot. You know, I really appreciate that time, okay? Just being open, getting help, and putting your thing on the table. That's getting help. That's the heart we need to have, an attitude of helping. So, as we conclude in the message, what are the 2x2 advantages in Christian life? What? You become spiritual. You pray together, you get close to God. Amen? You get close in a physical sense and spiritual sense, you're bonding, you keep on bonding, and you build up. And we encourage everyone within our family group to continue to grow and build up. What advantage there? There's no room for disunity. There's no room for division. We don't give Satan a chance. And there's no power struggle. Are you with me? Why do you think a lot of churches, they fall apart and divide? Because they're not unified, they can't agree and get along. They're not praying together. Amen to that. Because I don't think when you pray a lot, after the prayer, they really want to hate each other. I don't think so. God, help me to hate this brother on me. That's not the prayer. God, you know, when you go to God, you're praying. Amen. God, help me not to love this guy. No. God, help me to love. Help me to be close. Common prayers. I love that. Okay? It's confirmed by God. You know God answered that prayer. Keeps us humble. Keeps us connected. And a role model for others to follow. Ask yourself, are you a role model for other people to follow? Oh, look at that brother. Look at that sister. They're praying. What about us? You know, when Pam is praying with sisters in the morning, 6:45, 7, 7:30, it's like, man, what am I doing? I need to call some brothers and pray here. Amen? We got to do that more and more. Practicals in the month of March, April, May, heads up in the next slide. I'm sorry, I was supposed to put March, but I put May twice there. But March, we're going to build friendships through prayer. I believe that we are pretty much everybody paired up. If you're not very clear, please talk to your family group leader. We're going to have that. Now, this is not forever kind of a relationship. We will shuffle around in 3 to 4 months, maybe 5, whatever, we'll see. And then we'll have a new pair partner, and then life goes on. Are you with me? In April, the same pair is going to go and share Faith Weekly. Is that exciting? Okay. So you may hear a phone call from me and say, hey, bro, let's go and share our faith. Let's go. So for me, the advantage is I can pick anybody. Amen. But I want to do more and more on a weekly basis so I can bond with different people. In month of May, we're going to go 2x2 and do a Bible talk. Now, what that means is you want to maybe go to a cafeteria, maybe like a CCE cafeteria downtown or Urban Mill, and hey, you know, you share the word. Do you want to, you know, come up and join us for the Bible talk, a study or whatnot? Would you like to look at the scriptures, read with us? I don't know how it's all going to be. The choice is yours. You can go whenever, wherever, whatever time. Amen? The call is yours. Let the Spirit lead. Practicals, discipling relationships. Pick someone to mentor. Thank you, Hal, again for taking my point. It was awesome. Pick someone to mentor you and hold you accountable on a particular area of growth. Finances, praise God, we're talking about it finally in the church. Job hunting, leading someone to Christ, parenting, being a godly spouse. We all need this. Next week, we got our marriage retreat, amen? I'm looking forward to it. Are you looking forward to it? It's going to be good. Kalamazoo, yeah? Let's talk. Want another relationship, have a weekly time with someone to pray, Bible study, and to share your faith. The key to growth is being consistent and intentional. Now I want to show a couple of pictures. That's Albert. My wife took that picture, I think, or somebody. We're playing soccer in Canada in the summertime, my buddy over there. And on the right side is Alberto and John Badami. John passed away a few years ago and went to heaven because of cancer. But Alberto, right in the middle, got squeezed in right there. He's the one leading the Spanish ministry in Chicago. So these are some of our buddies. I hung out with them. I initiated. They initiate. It's a back and forth relationship. It's not one way waiting for this phone call. Oh, this brother doesn't call me. Man, he's my partner. He doesn't call me. What's up with that? Well, you need to pick up the phone too. This is everyone's responsibility. It's no one over the other person. Amen? That's it for the lesson today. And I want to encourage the church that will stand steadfast and make some decisions to pair up, to pray together, to have friendship times together, to have breakfast, enjoy yourself, you know, get a coffee, eat some food, and bond together. And then that will grow in the next few months, and then you can share your faith with that powerful, pull somebody in, and then the month after, hey, you don't want to start a Bible talk, or maybe it may flow into a Bible study, and you can lead them to Christ. Amen to that. And if there are pockets of Bible studies going on around the city, I can't wait to jump in. I'm going to be on the road. I'm fired up. I may get a phone call from Rodney. Hey, Rodney, Joe, and me are having a study in Grand Haven. Are you going to join us? I'll be there, bro. I'll be there in 30 minutes. In 30 minutes, I'm down. We're having a great time. Then I get another phone call. Isaac's calling. Or Andre's calling. Like, hey, bro, we found somebody else. We're studying the Bible. Would you like to jump in? Absolutely. Man, I'm fired up. And then somebody calls me like Angela. Angela says, hey, you know what? I couldn't find a new sister, but you want to get involved. Absolutely. Where are you now? Where? Hudsonville? I'll be there, sister. We'll be there in the cafeteria in Hudsonville at Burger King. It's going to be exciting. Because when we are fired up and we are stepping out in faith, God's going to work. Amen? I just want to share this couple here about the marriage retreat. You know who that is, right? Okay. You know, I wanted to take that picture because Dan, on that day, Dan Gunter, on that day decided to study the Bible with the brothers. Amen to that? That was in Shanty Creek because Carrie dragged him. No, I mean encouraged him. Encouraged him to come for the Shanty Creek. And Saturday night when everybody were dancing around, they had a deep talks in their room and convinced him to study the Bible and come to the Lord. And today he became a disciple of Christ. Amen? Amen. There are a lot of people out there you can invite are hurting who needs a little bit of spiritual nudge. Are you with me? And you'll be inspired. We're having Darren and Sharon, Chicago. They're going to come and inspire. And we got couples from Indiana, from Detroit, Lansing. It's going to be a blast. Amen? So let's go ahead and pray at this time. And Isaac's going to come up. All right, let's go ahead and pray. Father in heaven, thank you, God, for the direction. Thank you for putting on our hearts to build friendships as a church, to grow, to pair up, to be together, Lord. I look at the Old Testament, David and Jonathan, and so many, Lord. They were together, moving the kingdom, teaching and preaching and helping other people, helping each other, calling each other higher, never insecure or critical or negative or putting anyone down, but consistently helping other people. Lord, help us be the church. Help us be people who love you, who imitate the scriptures powerfully, Lord. Help us not to hold back and be insecure and start being critical, but Lord, help us be positive in everything what we do. Thank you, God, for the inspiration. Thank you, Father, for the scriptures. Father, we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.